Brunch with the Big Fella. That's right, Carlin, 98.7 ESPN. What is up, friends? Finally, we are at Super Bowl Sunday, and we will talk about the matchup tonight extensively over the next hour or so, hour and a half, I should say, until Knicks pregame coming up at 12:30. As always, it's 800-919-3776, 800-919-ESPN. Tweet the show at Chris Carlin. By all means, join us there. Here's what I'm excited about today. We got the Super Bowl that we want. We got a Super Bowl that's going to be entertaining. We got the Super Bowl that I think would be exceptionally difficult to be a disappointing one, to tell you the truth. It's one of those days where you look at the matchup, and when you don't have a rooting interest in the game, you just want it to be as entertaining as possible. And I think that's exactly what you're going to get today. And frankly, I'd be shocked if that's not what you're going to get today. This is pretty much the best game that we could have gotten. I could have been about the Packers as well. But I think when you're looking at a game like this, you will look for just the most entertainment that you can get. And the best part of this game, it's nearly impossible to envision it not being what you expect it to be. Does anyone think that this is not going to be an offensive game, an offensive festival, so to speak? Of course it is. I don't expect for 1 minute that it's going to be anything but. Because to me, when you have these two kinds of special talents that are on the field today, Brady, Mahomes, and all of the electrifying weapons that are around them, what more can you ask for? Now, in a poll of different people on ESPN, I was included in this poll. They asked for who's going to win the game and what's the final score. First of all, nobody said it was going to be anything more than a 7 to 8 point game. There was not, I don't think, one individual who picked it to be a two-touchdown game in any way. I found that somewhat surprising. But out of 107 people, 80 picked the Chiefs today. You guys want to call me a contrarian? Well, guess what? I'm one of the 27 that didn't. And the reason is pretty simple. I think it's going to be as one of those games that just so rarely lives up to its billing. I think it's going to be as entertaining as possible. But to me, it's going to boil down to one team on defense making one play that ends up being the difference. I got it 34-30 Buccaneers. And the primary reason is you can look at Tyrann Mathieu and some of the players on the Chiefs defense, and they're pretty good. But I look at the Buccaneers defense, and they're just better. They're just better. They're going to be able to make the Chiefs one-dimensional. Not that that's going to stop the Chiefs in any way. The Chiefs are a team that is more than comfortable being just one-dimensional with Patrick Mahomes to beat you. But they're the best team in the league against the run. The Buccaneers have been that all season long. But while they may put up their points today, I have faith that a guy like Shaquille Barrett, that a guy like Jason Pierre-Paul, that a guy like Lavonte David is going to make a big play in the fourth quarter at some point. That says to me that this could very much be like the Philadelphia Eagles, New England Patriots Super Bowl of a few years back, where it is a shootout back and forth. It is as entertaining as possible, but one guy ends up making one play. And in that game, it was Brandon Graham's strip sack of Tom Brady that sealed the win for the Philadelphia Eagles. I could see something very similar to that happening today. And I look at a couple of things. Number one, I think the Buccaneers have the superior offensive line. Number two, I think they have the superior pass rushers in the game. And number three, they have the firepower to keep up. They can go and get into a shootout and not get their doors blown off. So many times you will see teams through the course of the year when they are facing a team like the Chiefs, they will get so thrown off by who they are facing and what they are then in turn forced to do. And a lot of times they're really not forced to do it. What do I mean? I mean that you will see a team with a game plan go into a game and expect to try to do one thing and what they do well and maybe try to play keep away against a team like that. And what happens? You know, the Chiefs, they suck you into trying to get into a shootout. And that's not how you beat the Chiefs. You can't do that with them unless you have the proper weapons. You can't. You're going to lose the game if that happens. So I really look at the Chiefs this year, and it's not like they've been blowing the doors off of people. But I think if you're going to go try to score 40 points and you don't have the weapons, you don't have a shot. They have the weapons, the Buccaneers do. And look at the games that the Chiefs played in that were tough games and what happened in those games. You know, they beat Atlanta by 3. They beat the Saints by 3. They beat the Dolphins by 6. They beat Denver by 6. They beat Tampa by 3. They beat Vegas by 4 after they lost to them. They beat Carolina by 2. There were a lot of close games in the second half of the season. That first matchup with the Buccaneers, they hung in with them after they fell behind 17-0 in that game. But there's one thing that the Buccaneers did not do that could have won them that game. And you understand why they got away from it. It was 17-0 in the first quarter, so what does that immediately tell you? They did not run the football enough. And to me, running the football today for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is paramount. It's absolutely paramount. The Chiefs are not a great team against the run. And I hate to put it this way, but you have to think in terms of what the Giants did in Super Bowl 25 against the Buffalo Bills. Play keep away. Play keep away as much as possible. They're still going to smoke you for big plays. It's going to happen. I mean, for Pete's sake, one of the prop bets today is, will there be a drive that is less than the length of the national anthem? And I think the number was set around 2 minutes and 15 seconds or something. Or won't there be? And the number for there will not be a drive less than 216, oh, that was only somewhere in the neighborhood of plus 500. They fully expect it to be. So to me, this is a game that I've got the Bucs winning, 34-30. Ultimately, they will keep it away from Mahomes enough, but he will still score his points. Ultimately, they will get the job done because they get one superior defensive play in that one spot. That's what they will get. We get to the Mets momentarily as well. Let us talk with Spike in New Jersey. Hello, Spike. How are you, bud?
Hey, brunch with the big fella. I like that. Should make a movie about that. Well, here's my predictions. I got another prop bet for you. Mm-hmm. So it's one score game, fourth quarter, and you got to punch strategically. You know, put them back down. Can the big fella eat 3 pieces of pizza before the other team has to punt?
I don't think pizza's going to be on the menu today. I got one of these new ninja foodie cooker things that I'm just going to try to figure out what I'm cooking later on today. I don't know what it's going to be yet. Could be some nachos. It could be some, you know, I don't know. It could be mozzarella sticks. I don't know what it's going to be yet.
Well, what's your cheese? You got enough cheese to weather you through this game?
Let me tell you something. That's a question that you never have to ask me. Do you have enough cheese? There is a block of cheese in my basement.
You go to the store and go, bring the wheels up from the basement.
Exactly. The wheels on my car are made of cheese. Anyway.
Hey, listen, quick question. I'll give you my score. And then I got a record. Did they postpone the Penn State game?
Not that I know of. They did a couple weeks ago. There's not a game today.
Okay, so I looked at it, so then I don't know the makeup day. All right, well, here's the way I see the game. I agree with you 100%. The two best teams are in it. It could be a shootout. You know, traditionally, all the talk, you know, we all listen to programs back and forth, first quarter. This isn't going to be like that, Chris. They're going to just tear ass and go out after it and fling the ball around. That's the way I see it. I don't know what the final number is on the over, 55, 56, something like that?
It was at 55.5 the last time I looked.
Yeah, I mean, all these prop bets, kidding aside, joking aside, anything can happen in this game. You got the two best teams, and you made an example in your opening about the Eagles game. It could come down to that. Maybe it's a pick six, or maybe it's a trick play or something, but I think we're in store for a really good game, and enjoy it and eat heartily.
That won't be a problem, and I appreciate the call, Spike. Thanks. I got to get my fat ass onto the bike this afternoon to justify it at some point, which, you know, pay the piper. But anyway, I will be doing some cooking of some sort. I don't know what yet. We do have a backup plan of mini hot dogs that have already been purchased and are in the fridge, freezer rather. So they are ready to go just in case. But I have those all the time anyway, the emergency supply. Like, it doesn't have to be the Super Bowl for that to be in my freezer at the moment. Let's hit Mike. He is up next, joining us on 98.7 ESPN. Michael, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, brother?
How are you?
I wanted to talk about Watson going to the Jets. I mean, I'd love him to go to the Jets, but I wouldn't give him Houston more than our four first-round picks in the next 2 years. I mean, if they want something more than that, then let him sit out or let him go somewhere else. I don't know how we would build the team by giving up more than that.
I don't disagree. I've set my line at three first-round picks. To me, that's it. I understand wanting to go and get this player. In every way, it is a great, great move if they do it. But I'm starting to look at some of these other trades. And if the Eagles are truly, you know, they're going to bring back Nick Foles, Tariq Cohen, and a number one pick for Carson Wentz. Like, listen, bringing back Foles is one thing, but for, you know, Tariq Cohen can help a team. He's a good explosive player, and you're going to get a number one pick back for Carson Wentz. At this point, that's a ton.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I'm looking at it different. I mean, I'm looking at it as we're giving up basically Jamal Adams and two first-round picks.
No, I get that. I absolutely understand that, and you would do that in theory, right? Here's the problem. If the Jets were a whole lot closer, if the Jets even had five or six more pieces in place, I'd be more inclined to give up four. But to your point, they're not. They have so many holes that they have to fill on this team that I, as much as I would love to have them, I just don't think that it's going to behoove them to overpay and then start giving away Quinnen Williams or any other players that are brought up just to get it done. Then I think we're pushing it here.
Yeah, it makes no sense. Because how are you going to build a team, I mean, besides going and paying for free agents?
Yeah, look,
I mean,
they can do that, and they have the cap room to do it, and thanks for the call. But at the same time, while you may have the cap room, it doesn't excuse putting yourself in a bad spot in a draft capital way when you have worked so hard to get there. To me, if it's three first-round picks, if it's the two this year and then the later of the two next year, because the Jets are still not going to be good, then I would do it. Then I would do it. Frankly, beyond that, I don't know that I would. As much as I love Watson, I have to be able to build my team from within. I'll give you an example in a few minutes as to why you wouldn't necessarily want to do it. And there's a really, really good recent example of giving up an absolute fortune to get a guy. And while he worked out for a bit, it didn't work out for the longer haul, and there was a lot given up in between. Danny on Long Island is next. Danny, what's cooking, dude? How are you?
What's cooking, Chris? That's an interesting question. Let me set the scene, if I may. The crock pot of chili is now simmering, filling my house and nostrils with the smell of meat, beans, cayenne pepper, and the like.
Danny, how long surrounding do you cook it for? How long do you cook it for?
Slow cook on my crock pot is a five-hour cook. Add moisture if it gets a little bit, if you see it getting a little dry. But surrounding the crock pot when it comes time to serve the chili is my cornucopia of delights. A bowl of shredded cheddar, a bowl of shredded onions, a bowl of scallions, if you want to go that way, jalapeno peppers, and a variety of hot sauces to tantalize the nose hair and the stomach. All, and that's just the appetizer. So
see,
the game
here's what
is
I love about
be.
That plan, Danny. You make the chili, but you let the individual determine the heat.
Absolutely. Just enough heat to make it interesting, but I'm not the type of person. I once went to a Cajun restaurant where I was served a loaf of scooped out bread with some gumbo. The sweat coming, I needed a towel. I wasn't enjoying it. I was ready to confess to the Kennedy assassination just to take this food away from me. It was agony. I was on the grassy knoll.
Nobody needs to be paying for that for 2 days. You know, nobody needs
that. It was terrible. But anyway, I've decided I'm throwing in my emotions with Tom Brady because the thought of Belichick sitting in his house with a beverage watching Tommy Boy raise the thing would be so disheartening to Belichick, the Darth Vader himself, that would make me very happy. So I'm rooting for the old man. And I do think I do back up your thought on the game. I think that this team can run the ball. I think that their defense is phenomenal and hard hitting, and the Chiefs will pay a physical price during this game. And if they can get a lead, Kansas City, and they can bleed the clock, they can win the game. And because the left tackle we all know is out for Kansas City, so we expect the Chiefs to bombard this man Mahomes now. The game will come down to Mahomes running around like a maniac for 4 to 5 plays in the backfield. If he makes those plays, they win. If he gets strip sacked or takes a sack for 15-yard loss, they lose. So the game will be decided on 4 or 5 Mahomes running around like a maniac. Does he hit Tyreek Hill down the field for a 50-yard touchdown pass, or does he get sacked or fumbled or whatever? You don't have those kind of plays with Brady. It's a much more methodical, a well-thought-out approach where they have to outthink the opponent. And they do have a lot of weapons. And their offense is suited to pick apart Kansas City, I think. And that's the way it's
going
to go.
I don't disagree with that at all, Danny. Thanks for the call. I think that you really have to, if you are Brady and company, do everything that you can to play keep away. And there's a magic number to it. What's that magic number? We'll tell you next. 800-919-3776. 800-919-ESPN. A number of remarkable significance today. That when we return. 35. This is my number today. And no, it's not the number that, like I have a 3 and a 5 in my box pool, which is an absolute disaster. Like, my numbers in my box pool are so bad, I may as well have a Russian letter in one of them and pi in the other one. That's about as good of a shot as I've got today to win in the box pool. But the number 35 is exceptionally important for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to win this game. Why is the number 35 so important for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to win this game? Because it's 35 minutes, time of possession, and it's running the football 35 times. Now, in going back and watching and looking at the numbers from the first matchup between these two teams, the Buccaneers only rushed the football 13 times in the game. 13 times in the game. That's not what you can do to try to beat Kansas City. That can't be it, because you, in that case, just have absolutely no shot. If you want to go and beat the Chiefs, you have to do your best to play keep away. And that is running the football as much as you can. And the good news is, you know, Ronald Jones is an effective running back. Leonard Fournette has been good in the postseason. He has given them a chance to be successful on the ground. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you they have to run it 50 times, but I'd run it 35 times today if I could. They fell behind 17-0 in that game. And then they just decided to go out and try to chuck the ball all over the lot. That was in the first quarter, okay? It used to be that you would feel like you have to go out there and throw it all over the place when something like that happens. It really isn't. You don't have to do that. And so they took away a chance to potentially win that game, and they only lost that game 27-24. They came back. They scored two touchdowns in the fourth quarter to make it a close game. And they held the Chiefs to 27 points, which isn't that bad. But what was the problem? The Chiefs had the ball for 36 minutes in the game. Well, when the Raiders beat the Chiefs, the Raiders had the football for, guess what? 35 minutes and 18 seconds in time of possession. And guess what? How many rush attempts did the Raiders have in that game? 35. You know, when late in the year, when, yes, Mahomes didn't play because they were resting him, the Chargers, yeah, I know it was against Chad Henne, did the same thing. They ran the football 35 times, and they had the football for 35 minutes. It's not exactly the same thing as to what the Raiders did when they beat them. But can we all just admit there is very little defense that is going to be able to stop Patrick Mahomes? There's really no defense that can stop Patrick Mahomes. We have seen that time and again. But you can keep the game close and give yourself a chance if you keep the ball out of his hands. And if it sounds familiar, yes, it is very familiar to what the Giants did against the Buffalo Bills in Super Bowl 25. Is it that exact game plan to ride this out and win this game? No. It doesn't have to be that exact game plan. But they had the football for nearly 40 minutes. The Bucs have enough firepower. And the Bucs have a good enough defense where if they put up 35 points, they can win the game. You know, it's so often that when we talk about keeping teams at certain point levels, that's the only way to win. Like with the Chiefs, that number is so inflated. Like, you can genuinely envision a scenario where the Chiefs score 35 points and lose. You can see that. It doesn't mean you have to keep them to 19 points. What it means is that you have to do your best to make them do two things. You have to keep the ball out of their hands, and then when they get the ball in their hands, you have to dare them to feed it to Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Now, the latter is not going to happen no matter what. They're going to find holes in your zone. They're going to find the holes. They're still going to throw the football effectively. But the former You've got a chance. You've absolutely got a chance if you can just keep that number down in terms of time of possession. Play, keep away. You got a shot. You got a shot that way. 35 minutes time of possession, 35 rushing attempts in the game. That leads to a 34-30 Bucks win. More on Deshaun Watson coming up. And interesting developments with the Jets and Sam Darnold we're going to want to get into. That is next, because all of a sudden, if the Jets have this many teams calling on Sam Darnold, and they can up what the asking price is on Sam and get some teams into a bidding war, and the next thing you know, they've got a third first-round pick this year. It completely changes the dynamic of having the second overall pick. Tanya is in the Bronx, and she has been patient. Up next, 98.7 ESPN. Tanya, what's going on?
Hey, Cliff. So I just wanted to say that I like Mahomes, so I'm going with the Chiefs today, big.
You like him personally, like, or you like him as a player, or all of the above?
All of the above.
Okay.
All of the above. And as a Jets fan and Buddha's wife, I
don't like Tom. Wife. Okay.
Yeah. I don't like Tom Brady, so no, we won't be going for them. And then you were talking about the Ninja Foodie, and I just wanted to say, especially for Super Bowl Sunday, two things that cook really well in the foodie, wings and steak with butter garlic.
Ooh. And so I haven't opened it yet. We got it back in December, but I work nights, so it's hard to, you know, get a chance to cook. But I've actually got some time this week, and I'm going to crack it open this afternoon. And I'm going to see what I'm looking at. And I was looking at a couple of recipes, and I'm looking at maybe some, they called them upside down nachos. I don't know. You know, do you love the thing? Are you into it?
I love it.
Really?
I work really long hours, and when I get a chance, you could throw it in frozen with all your seasonings, and it's going to cook it perfect. The air crisp, you would think that you're frying the stuff.
Wow. Let me ask you one last question about it. One last question. I see in a lot of the recipes that you have to throw in the meat frozen. Is that a must?
You don't have to. No.
No?
Okay. No. But that's the point of it, right? It's saying, I know you don't have time. Sometimes you forgot that you didn't take the meat out.
Right.
But you don't have to worry with this system.
All right. I'm on board.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tanya. I'm excited by that. I like that. I like that. Could be a good day for the big fella behind the Ninja Foodie. Okay. Here's an interesting question regarding the Jets. So Adam Schefter today had a report that as these quarterback trade talks around the league have already heated up, multiple teams have reached out to the Jets to express interest in trading for Sam Darnold. Now, they haven't turned away any calls, but they haven't made any firm decisions about the future of their quarterback. So let's paint a scenario real quick. You have Carson Wentz reportedly headed to the Bears. Like, they seem like they're relatively close on that deal. And that would involve Nick Foles going back to the Eagles, of course, and Tariq Cohen and a number one pick. So that presents the Jets with an interesting opportunity because Indianapolis, San Francisco, both at that point, still need quarterbacks. If you're Indianapolis and Frank Reich, and you believe that you've got enough weapons for Wentz, and you certainly believe in an outstanding offensive line that you have, would you consider if there is a demand out there and the music is about to stop and you're about to run out of chairs to sit in, is it possible that the Jets could get a late one for Sam Darnold? If they could get the 21st pick for Sam Darnold. So think about that for a sec. Then the Jets have three first-round picks. So it's two things. Number one, if you got a third first-round pick, then we could talk a lot more seriously about the possibility of trading for Deshaun Watson. But if Watson doesn't want to be here, then you have a problem. We don't know that Watson wants to be here. So let me propose a separate scenario. The Jets have the number 2 pick. They have the number 21 pick. They have the number 23 pick. Would you trade all three of those picks to Jacksonville to move up to number 1 and get Trevor Lawrence? I would. And if you're Jacksonville, they already have another first-round pick later in the round. They'd have 4 first-round picks this season. That would be awfully difficult to turn down if you're the Jacksonville Jaguars, if you're Urban Meyer. Yeah, you might love Trevor Lawrence, but 4 first-round picks to move down one spot, like 3 first-round picks to truly move down one spot, giving me 4 total? Would you do that? Because think about this truly from a Jets perspective. If you have 3 first-round picks this year, and you're either trading them for Watson, who we know is already a young quarterback walking into his prime and having a chance to go and dominate and be a big part of your future, or you have a chance to go and get Trevor Lawrence, wouldn't you do it? You know, as the music stops in a couple of these spots and these quarterbacks land, the leverage for the Jets on Darnold could go up. Jets end up with another first-round pick out of Darnold. That's a spicy meatball. What do you think? CP, what up?
Hey, Chris, just want to wish you a happy Super Bowl Sunday in advance. You and your wife, I hope you guys have a pleasant Sunday.
Thanks.
And I hope it turns out,
well.
Hope everything turns out well.
Thank you very much.
Hello?
Looking forward to it.
Oh, you bet. I'm sorry. I thought I lost reception there. No. I just wanted to say quickly, Chris, I'm actually in the minority as well. I believe that we could actually argue that not only has the Bucs defense been efficient throughout this entire tournament, but I would come to their defense that they may be the best defense in the NFC. And obviously, so I mean that wouldn't be too much of an argument. But in addition to those names that you mentioned at open, their secondary has actually been, I mean, above superb. You look at what Sean Murphy Bunting has done throughout this tournament.
Oh, it's been
having
great.
Having a pick in the championship game, had a pick in the divisional round, and they've actually had a good special team. Their special teams has been, top-notch as well. Your analysis, the 35 analysis, that was beyond impressive, Chris, because I do believe if we were to go back, I think any time the Chiefs have lost, it's been as a result of the of the TP being sub 35, TOP, should I say. So that was a very impressive analysis. I like that very much that you have mentioned midway through the show today.
That.
Yep, you bet. I think the
doesn't mean it's going to be right.
Well, I mean, no analysis is right when you say it prior to the fact, but it is impressive nonetheless. I liked it a lot. I think the Bucks win this game. Brady gets his 7th Super Bowl. And, you know, what Levante David has been to this defense, them getting Antoine Winfield back, JPP, and we can go on and on. This pass rush is going to be disruptive. Although, Patrick Mahomes is, I think, 24-1. And his last 25 starts.
Yeah, listen, it's going to be very difficult to deal with Mahomes, and thanks for the call. It's going to be very difficult to even think that you're going to stop him in any way. You're not. He's going to get his. It's just, can you come up with the one or two big plays that you really need to in that one spot to keep him from killing you? Can you make the one strip sack? Can you find that one little hole where you get to Mahomes and you don't even have that chance, if you're Mahomes, to make that one last play where you can get there and knock the ball free or come up with a big sack on a stop on a 3rd-and-7? If you can do that, then you've truly got a chance to do that. And I think they have a chance to do that today. I feel that way about the Buccaneers. I really do. Here's the best part, right? I think we all feel like this is going to be an absolutely brilliant game and what we expect it to be. What we expect this to be a, how do I put it? Would any of us be shocked if this was a classic game? I don't think so. I think you're going to have tons of offense. I think you're going to have an awful lot of great plays. I think you're going to hit the over here. I'd be surprised if you didn't. And I think you've got chances at some really fun things to see for this game. I think we're going to be entertained all the way through. Like, this is not going to be what we saw with the Rams and the Patriots a couple of years ago. I just don't see that. I'm going through all my sheets, as you can tell right now, for my Super Bowl prop bets. And I've got a couple. Get out your pens, all right? Number one on FanDuel, and I think it's still up there. They had a super boost. Chris Godwin scores a touchdown and the Bucks win. +430. Mmm! Give me a slice of that. The last play of the game, not being a kneel down play, +140. I like that. Of the two quarterbacks, Brady to throw the first interception. And I know I'm picking the Bucks, but Brady to throw the first interception is +240. That's very interesting. Shaquille Barrett getting the first sack in the game, +550. JPP, +650. I like that. And then here's one that's just, it's a little bit out there. But given who the two quarterbacks are, I'm going to ride with it. And I'm only going to put $10 on it. And don't get me wrong, I'm not laying a ton of cash down here. This is little bets here and there. That's what it is. The quarterback in this game who can tie the all-time record, of touchdown passes in a game. That is held by Steve Young, as we know, with 6. A quarterback who throws 6 or more touchdowns in this game, 10-1. Not bad. plus 1,000. So I put 10 bucks on that. I could win 100. I kind of like that too. So that's where I'm at with some of the prop bets today. This morning, in case you missed it, big time.
Breaking news.
That's right. The Mets this morning signed Albert Almora. Who? Albert Almora. I'm sorry, Junior, to play center field. Now look, Albert Almora, as we know, has played for the last few years for the Cubs. I'm joking when I say, who? But I'm really not. Because I don't look at Albert Almora and think, yeah, bingo, we got our guy. The Mets face different issues here with this team. But bringing in somebody like this has that feel of a few years ago when they would just kind of throw some names up on the board and see what sticks. Now, I know that a few years ago he was a guy that, you know, could hit a little bit and could do some things offensively, but he wasn't ever a dynamic offensive player. That's not what I'm expecting here. Serviceable would be nice. I don't know that I would even use that word here because it's, what is it? It's a very familiar Met formula to sign somebody like this and expect him to be your center fielder. That is someone who a couple of years ago had a good run, had a couple of good seasons, but really hasn't been able to do it in 2 or 3 years. I mean, is Albert Almora the next Colin Cowgill? What are you doing? What are you doing? I know you don't want to spend a ridiculous amount of money on Jackie Bradley Jr. And frankly, I can't blame you for that one bit. I would not give Jackie Bradley $15 million a year for 5 years. That's absurd. Would I do what Joel Sherman was suggesting? Maybe going and trading away a couple of my higher-priced relievers like Familia, like Dellin Betances, to maybe get Lorenzo Cain to play center field? Yeah, I'd consider doing that. I absolutely would. Revenue neutral. Remember that phrase? That was a big, big Brody phrase. Revenue neutral. Let me tell you what the Mets should be doing. The Mets should be signing a guy like Justin Turner. And I know that we're at 35 years old, but this guy is a great clubhouse guy. He has always, always been able to hit, and he can play third base every day. And you might say, well, we got J.D. Davis. Oh, okay, you got J.D. Davis. Is J.D. Davis a good third baseman? He's not. I would go investigate if Turner would come back. I'm not even sure that he would because he's always been a West Coast guy. But coming back, you know, and of course, Sandy was the one that let him go, and that was a mistake. And I don't think this is going and bringing him back too late. You know, he's still a big part of what they were doing, and the guy could still hit at 35. I don't think, you know, a two-year deal for Turner at 13 per or something like that is out of whack. Not in the least. The Mets have roughly $30 million to spend before they get to the luxury tax threshold, if that's something that they want to worry about staying below. Still roughly $30 million. If you are willing to give Trevor Bauer $40 million this year and $40 million next year, how about just go sign in somebody with a track record who's a great clubhouse guy and a tremendous leader? How about going and signing somebody like Jake Odorizzi, who in essence has the exact same career numbers as Trevor Bauer overall, and you get him for a fraction of the price? Like, these are smarter moves, and everybody seems to be so worried about the outfield and where exactly they're going to play everybody if there's no DH. Oh, my God, what if there's no DH? All right, well, if that happens, did I miss it? And Brandon Nimmo is an all-star center fielder. and then you're going to play him in left. Now, you find ways to get guys chances to play. What's the worst thing in the world in having actual depth? A bat like J.D. Davis coming off the bench is awful? No, he's got to play. But come on. When you get better players, you can put yourself in the position to take those guys off the bench. You know what that does? It makes you a better team. What a novel concept. Please. J.D. Davis does not need to play 140 games for the Mets at third base. I'd bring Turner in here. I absolutely would in a heartbeat. The guy is everything that right that you want in a clubhouse, and he can still hit, and he can still field. I'm not going to say he's gold glove guy, but he's somebody that you want around. Let him go do it. Talk to him. Talk to Odorizzi. Adding depth. That's what they need to be thinking about right now. All right, we squeeze as many as we can in real quick. Justice in the Bronx. Justice, go.
Hey, Carter, what's going on, my brother? How's everything with you?
Good. I got about 30 seconds. Have at it.
All right, I'll throw it at you real fast. Number one, I'm going to go to baseball. That Mets thing, no matter what they're doing, yeah, they're going in a positive manner. So we can't knock them, but I get what you're saying. Everything you just said was correct. I'm going to go back to football and make it real easy for you. With the analyst that you had calling from the neck, he's from Thrive Neck in the Bronx to say the neck. He said that he agreed with everything that you said, and I agree with him in certain senses. But you got to understand that when it comes to Mahomes, he could do a great thing first quarter. He could do a great thing second quarter. He could be messed up at the end of the second quarter, but you don't count him out in the fourth quarter. But I give Brady that little stance, too, because look what he did to Rodgers with that last minute and score just like that. I'm going with the youth and Will Chuck, Kansas City, and Andy Reid. Yo, it's phenomenal because in a sense that he's going to look at exactly what just happened in the first half and come back to something we probably didn't even see.
I absolutely get going with Andy Reid, and I got no problem with that. I got to run, Justice. But listen, I understand it. Like I said, Bucks 34-30.